there, you're listening to Switch On, a podcast to shape the principles of modern leadership. I'm Helena Mach, and I'll be discussing real experience with successful leaders. Learn from them, how are they dealing with the challenges of today, and how are they building on their learnings for tomorrow's success. In this series, we will focus on leadership principles, where you can find yourself in a situation when you can bend the world to your will, if you find yourself in a paradox. Welcome to this episode of Switch On. Things are moving too quickly for us to be able to sit back, review the world, debate at length, and suggest a grand vision that we will review some 5 years later. We can all agree that this is a thing of the past. Executing brilliantly against the present pressures, yet fail to consider the long-term implications of these decisions can mean a failure. Equally, someone well focused on the future, failing against the present demands, or simply not executing against their vision, will not be allowed to get there. The need to execute with the future in mind, or strategize while executing, requires leaders to become adaptive. This mindset is an ongoing reality for my guest today, Jernej Pirc, General Manager of Software One Slovenia. Welcome, Jernej.
Hi, Helena, and thank you for having me here.
Great to have you with us. Jernej, I know you as always being in a role of a leader, trying to balance between setting the vision forward and bringing it to life while getting things done. Tell us more about yourself. What has brought you to where you are today, and what keeps you motivated?
Well, first of all, I consider myself as an IT guy. I don't see myself really as a leader or as a manager. I maybe sometimes too often act as an expert because what I do, the expert part of my life is actually something that began as my hobby. So I started with IT as a teenager or even before when the first computers came into the household. And this is why maybe I'm somehow mixture of an expert as who became under the circumstances a leader. And until now, more or less, I've been working in an international environment for my whole career. After my studies in Germany, I started to work for international company in Slovenia. And then after 17 years, switched to another international company with a short break as a freelancer. And that's it. So I consider myself as an employee of the international capital all the way.
Working in an international environment and being an expert, bringing your expertise to life and remaining confident at the same time today is not easy. We live in a world where if you don't execute, you don't have the credit or the resources to be able to move forward. The world is coming at us so fast that it feels you got to be pretty strategic. We used to think that those two were the opposite of each other. You were either a strategist or you did things for the things to happen. Jernej, you mentioned it yourself that you have expected companies to wake up, to react, that pandemic would stimulate the demand. But many customers didn't react as expected. Some markets were more ready than others to adapt. Some companies more ready to react and transform, and some less ready to become active. Based on this, do you think that being a strategic executor is a critical capability for a leader today? And if so, why?
Maybe just to assess a little bit the situation in a maybe broader timeline. Thinking about speed and thinking about strategy. If we think back how our grandparents conducted business and how was at that time the speed of the communication or speed of change is something that for today and modern younger generations is quite unthinkable. For example, in the past, the business was conducted with letters. And the timeline for getting an information or time frame for getting or concluding or conducting a business was completely different than today. Imagine that our grandfathers wrote a letter to some company somewhere in the world and asked them to send them a catalog with the products, with the descriptions and everything what's in there. And then they had to study this catalog, to study these products and go out to the market, to the customer, and of course, conduct the business with them. It had at that time certain timeline, which was quite a long one. So it took many days, weeks, even months to close a deal, to sign a contract and make a deal. What is the same is that today still people are conducting the business. So it's person to person, it's mentality to mentality. But if you think about today, where we have completely different communication means and communication channels, and the speed of the information is actually speed of light, this impacted our behavior tremendously. And I think that this is also influencing how this constant change is nowadays implemented in our daily business life. And here we speak, of course, about strategy. And I understand a strategy like a wide framework where you set long-term or short-term goals. And from the strategy, of course, you derive your business plans, your short-term action plans. And today, comparing to the past, you need to be very fast. You need, of course, to set a strategy, but then from the strategy, you need to be very agile to change your reactions, your daily plans, your daily conducting way of conducting business. And you need to be very alert on all trends and what is happening out there. But not in all of the cases, I think, or I consider that this is good. Sometimes it would be much better, and from my personal point of view, preferable to sit down, to discuss, to take time, and then act. In this combination today, what I see is that we have a lot of data, we have enormous quantities of data, and we have enormous processing capabilities. We have tools to analyze this data, to predict a lot of things out of this data that is gathered. But on the other hand, people or human brain is, I would say, in these modern, fast, speed of life days, is in a certain hibernation, I would say, because people's brain is not so active, or it's active in a different way as it was in the past. Why? Because today we have a lot of help. We have a lot of gadgets, a lot of informations that are coming to us that make us aware of things or suggest things where it's not necessary that we think about, that we consider, so that we somehow neglect a basic brain functionality. And yes, maybe coming to actual time related also to pandemic, and a constant need for change, I would say that IT industry is for sure one of the industries where the progress, constant changing and quick changes are built in the mentality of it. And I believe that IT industry found out all these buzzwords like digitalization, like transformation, and all the things around the business, or that would help business to grow faster. And yes, for that you need, of course, a strategy, and for that you need to be a very good executor of these plans that are derived from the strategy.
I really like how you have highlighted the speed of change and how everything is actually happening in parallel. And I fully agree when you said that having this luxury to stop, take time, breathe in, breathe out, is really becoming a challenge, because we are in a constant reaction mode. And I can say that sometimes we feel powerless. You earlier mentioned that during the last year, you felt like there was no ground underneath your feet. And that is also the time when we start looking at others for guidance. What are they doing? How are they managing? Because simple execution without having a focus on the very profound trends that are coming at us, like you put it nicely just earlier, like tidal waves, and those need sometimes specific capabilities to address them, has most likely also led to significant changes to the organization as well. How do you manage? How do you balance urgent versus important? Or how do you bring this necessary strategic vision that you have mentioned into the execution?
Well, yeah, you said that we discussed about the change that impacted our lives and business lives when these extraordinary measures took in last year with pandemic. And yeah, I told you that somehow at certain points I felt being lost. I felt like having no connection to the colleagues, to the organization. I could not say that I was helpless, but it was a special circumstance, it was a special condition which was new, and it became the new reality. And for me, the most critical part, or what I missed the most, was the constant contact with the people, with our colleagues, with my colleagues. And, you know, it's not necessarily that every day you have discussion or you talk with each and every one of your team, but it's enough to feel them, you know, to see them around the office, to just say hi or to nick to them in the hall, and being aware that they are doing their work and that the things are going in the right direction. So pandemic took that away, because at one point we all said, okay, every company that it's able to work from home, and we are for sure one of these kind of companies where everything can be done from home remotely. We did it also in the past. It was a usual procedure. So everyone who wanted was able to work from home, but it, of course, it was different. And from our experience, it was like, I don't know, if one could take 10 days a month to work from home, maybe they took 10 days in a year to work from home, you know, just in cases where it was convenient for them. It was not something that was usual, and obviously people need to be connected with others, and we need to be engaged, communicate, if I'm allowed to put it that way, also in other ways, not only verbally, you know, but on other levels. Mm-hmm. So this was something that was gone. And after a while, I got a feeling that I don't have control. I wouldn't say that I am a control type, but obviously I missed that. And at some point, I was not aware, okay, what is happening in the market? There was no transparent overview what customers are doing, what are their decisions, how they are feeling. Although talking to them with video conferencing systems or over the phone did not produce the same result as being there, as conduct the business in person. Maybe it is also connected to the fact that I'm becoming older generation in the business. So that I'm not so gadget-linked guy. I felt it that maybe I'm losing ground. So I discussed that feelings a little bit with other colleagues from other companies. And I saw that we are more or less the same age, and that we think similar, or we had the same feeling. there is no other option as to adopt to this new reality, to accept it and to do it. But from that point, you say also, of course, all the other companies need to do the same. If they were not enabled before to work from home, we need to help them. We are a company who does that, which is experienced, which has reference. Let's do it. But particularly in Slovenia, I had discussions also with colleagues around the region and around the group. Slovenian market reacted a little bit differently from my perspective. So one of the properties of the Slovenian economy most likely is not to be really brave and to see a crisis situation as a big opportunity. So in crisis, a lot of companies, what I noticed last year, went into saving mode instead into investing mode. Of course, there are of course also other example, positive example that made differently. But majority of the companies tried to save money, tried to see where there are any costs that they could reprogram into the future, or they could avoid at least temporarily, instead of, you know, sitting down, making a new plan, set a new strategy and say, okay, if this crisis will go on, if the pandemic will be in version 1.1, 1.2, 2 point something, then we will be prepared. And I believe that this year, after more than a year of pandemic, we see these kind of trends that companies start to make plans and go, you know, into this direction to build business and grow in that way. On the other hand, the costs, yes, a lot of organizations were very successful and grew with a double digit because some of the costs was pushed out. And what I don't approve is that, for example, no one thought about that all the employees that had to start working from home, of course, not everyone had the ideal conditions to work from home. Some of these families were frustrated, I believe, that from one day to another needed to start working in one room, two or three people together, communicating over the video conferencing system. And this is, I would believe, stressful. This is one thing. And the other one is not all of these employees got resources provided by the company. So they needed to use their own private computers. They needed to use their own resources. So from my perspective, this was only shifting a cost outside of a company to make this burden on the employees. And yes, the result was even better. The profit was higher, but no one thought about it. So I don't know if any companies, they really thought about how to compensate this new way of conducting business remotely.
Yeah, it was a big change all of a sudden, especially for those companies that were not prepared for it or were not used to that kind of, let's say, dynamic processes, or I would call it now hybrid maybe even. But you are so right when you earlier mentioned that these human interactions are really something that I think everybody actually missed, because usually we informally build a bond with our colleagues, or through the relationships, you get that mixed insight, thoughts that you gather from your colleagues that can fuel new ideas, new thinking. And now suddenly you were looking at their faces through the screen and the connection was not the same. But yet you needed to execute, you needed to react at the same time. And this actually makes me think also about how deep as a leader you actually need to go while executing. How much detail do you usually get into for the business to run successfully?
Oh, this is a tricky one. So as I told, in my case, I believe that sometimes I go too deep and I go too far out of my role, because said I see myself as an expert still. I also try to keep my expert knowledge in shape. So I study the new things. Although I'm the I'm belonging to the older guys in the company, I was the one who embraced cloud technologies, who saw the strategic meaning of going into cloud to shift the focus, you know, from building the infrastructure things within the company more into direction of the content and so on. So I'm still there somehow. I still understand these kind of things. And this is why when I'm engaged, when I have the opportunity to talk to the customer or to give them some advice I'm somehow passionate about it. So in my case, which is maybe a little bit special or different than in other cases or in general, where the leader should be more in a different role, I am sometimes really going too deep into this. But on the other hand, some colleagues appreciate this and they see as a help in achieving their targets and getting their deals done. Otherwise, yes, I try to be a leader who more or less handles the environment for the colleagues, you know, who is trying to make the environment stable, who is trying to provide all the necessary means and everything around what is necessary for the people, for colleagues to be creative, you know, to be the best of themselves. Mm-hmm. And to give them, of course, all the possibilities to drive their internal driver. So in my belief, every individual has particular internal driver, which is driving them, which is setting the goals for them. And of course, they need to find this themselves. You cannot tell them what to do exactly. They need to find it out. Otherwise, they do not enjoy in their daily business life, and if they do not find some positive emotions in what they are doing, they will not be successful on the long term.
Yeah, I always like working with engaged leaders. This actually helps me to be more productive, to deliver higher impact as well, sharing ideas. But on the other hand, It's about finding that right balance that you mentioned. One of my favorite leadership quotes, actually, coming from the sporting world, is actually the following one. The job of a leader is to create an environment that makes champions inevitable. But how do you, as a leader, not get in people's way?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm trying to help, and I'm trying to provide the inspiring environment and showing them how they can be successful or helping them not do the work instead of them, but to show them maybe sometimes also on my own example, what does it mean to be happy, to combine the happiness in what you're doing, this passion of your actions, into later on a success that comes. So I believe that every sportsman, I was also doing sports when I was younger, I was playing hockey. And, you know, if you are a real sportsman, you do not think about success or how you will be successful. You think about how will you train harder and further and longer than the others. And at the end, the reward will be that you will be successful. And this is maybe a little bit also something that is coming from my younger times as a sportsman, that I try to inspire or try to support the colleagues in this way.
Willingness to explore, to learn and adapt very quickly to what is coming next are critical for success. No one knows actually what the business will look like in a couple of years. The speed of change requires leaders who can decide and act, but who also have the humility to recognize the limits of their abilities, the courage to admit their mistakes, and who demand others to do the same. What is your recipe, Jernej, to have the confidence to act and the humility to recognize when you're wrong?
I completely agree that also leaders, although maybe someone understands them differently, are just the same human beings as all the rest. And I believe that leaders are even making more mistakes than the others. It's not a problem that you make a mistake, because you need to sometimes you need to make decisions fast. You need to react fast. You don't have time to make a really deep and thorough analysis. So it's you cannot avoid to make mistakes. And the important is how you learn out of them, and that based on your mistakes that you do not repeat them, and that you learn and you come out of this experience stronger, smarter, if you like.
I really like how you highlighted learning from failure. I think it's a very crucial competence today, because it actually means that you learn fast from something that you have done and try not to repeat it again. Because we are not always sure, right? What might happen next, and what can we expect? And being in a role of a leader, sometimes we are not sure what is the right thing to do. Do you think that as a leader, you are allowed to openly admit to your team that you don't know what is coming next? How to be okay with this?
Of course, you are allowed. And of course, you have to admit, not being honest to your colleagues and play with their minds, it would be something not fair to them. It would be something you would show that way that you are underestimating them. And maybe I could give you an example from my personal experience. I'm a generation where asking a teacher was... we at that time learned it's not so recommendable if you do not know the answer already. And this is very interesting. I don't know how today's the younger generations feel this or how they get this in the schools, but I believe there is schools today are more open, that also teachers and professors are more open to the questions, and they are more open to the fact that they can admit that they do not know all the answers. But in my time, I remember when, of course, when the teacher did not have the right answer or didn't know the right answer, his reaction was not, I'm sorry, I will have a look, I will try to find the right answer and provide it to you. The reaction was, how stupid you are, you should know that. And this is something what I see also in generations similar to mine, that is somehow built in our mindset. And of course, this is wrong. I was lucky. I have to admit that I got a stipendium to and studied in Germany. And one of the big changes for me that I realized at that time was that actually a professor on the university was a colleague of yours. He was able to go out with you to have a drink and discuss, sit down and discuss. And was providing the answers, was asking the questions, was also admitting that he doesn't know everything. And this was a big difference. And of course, I learned from that, and I tried to be the same. And of course, I also started to ask questions to the people that had a certain authority. And maybe I believed that they should have the answers. And in that way, I was engaging with others more. And of course, taking the parallel to my current role is the same. If I don't have the answers, if I don't have the right knowledge, I do not bluff, I admit, but I go and do my homework and try to deliver the right answer.
I fully agree. I mean, being open with your team, sharing how you feel, being authentic, I think it adds value to the discussions that we are having today. And you can be so much more productive and get so much more out of the team, bringing their ideas to life as well. And as you mentioned, I was brought up in a similar way that you discussed. For us, this was something that was maybe natural, but now I think asking questions, listening to the others, bringing new ideas, perspectives to lives based on collaboration and working together, I think it's becoming so much more powerful than what we were used to and how we were actually brought up. Janne, you gave me a cue earlier when you mentioned the performance. Actually, Q1 financial results on paper in many companies looked great, despite this lingering operational issues that we touched several times linked to the pandemic and the challenges of remote work. This first quarter revenue results were up, costs were down, profit margins expanded. And with numbers like that, companies with strong, sometimes even double-digit growth may find themselves appearing just okay. Do you think that this kind of growth is considered outstanding coming out of pandemic, and why?
I believe that investors, capital owners, company owners, they expect constant growth or even constant double-digit growth all the time. And I believe that growth in pandemic times, or growth as a consequence of a new demand coming out of the field, is nothing extraordinary, and in some cases it could be expected, but I do not think that everyone is only growing. And I believe that after 1 year of pandemic, people are maybe speaking more openly about also other factors, or they are not talking about growth. They are maybe talking also about some problems, and I believe one needs to just look around to see also the stories that are not so positive because of the pandemic effect. My personal opinion is that constant growth and constant striving for the profit, it has its limitations, and of course also the circular crisis that are coming time to time are showing us that this economic system is not the ideal one. But currently, it's the only one that we are living in.
Yeah, fully agree with what you're saying. I also don't see this double-digit growth as sustainable, because companies can't completely ignore what's going on, and there might be a next crisis just around the corner looming. And we need to be, let's say, constantly ready, constantly flexible to be able to react. And even if it seems that investors, when seeing this growth, appear to have forgotten everything that happened, that is actually still happening. For leaders, this also means threading an extremely fine line when it comes to managing growth expectations, because studies have shown that this elevated productivity that pushed this outperformance can't be sustained. So if leaders push their teams too hard now, it can result in underperformance and diminished returns. Let's be honest, people have just run a marathon, and now they are being asked to do it again with no break to meet these financial expectations. What is your view on that, and how do you manage this balance, this fine balance linked to these expectations in your role?
Yes, you are completely correct when you are saying that capital is pushing not only colleague employees, also the leaders, because at the end of the day we are all somehow employed by these investors, by these capital owners.
True.
Yes, in our case, what we did last year, after some time working from home and noticing that people are actually available or present in front of the screen more, or as compared to the usual daily routine, especially at SoftwareOne, we found this out, and we had internal campaigns where we noticed, or we tried to push certain working from home culture, where we advised people to really stop with their work or and go away from the computer and really turn it off after a normal working time. We advised people to set up their calendars, and we started to engage or to plan meetings, not like it's in by default in every system on 30 minutes, but we shrink this time. We condense this time to 20 or 25 minutes to give the colleagues time to at least have some breathing space from one meeting to another. And we got really disciplined about keeping the timeline. So starting the meetings on time and ending them on time. Usually, you know, in a real life, you start a meeting, you are passionate about discussion, and sometimes one meeting that was planned for 1 hour, in reality, it could be much longer. Bringing that online, bringing that behind the screens was one of the things where people were sitting in the meetings all day and then started to work in the evening. So we tried really to reveal this to the people that they need to stay away when they are over with their work, and that the next day they can start and go from that point on. Also, me personally, I had to discipline myself, and each day, last year in April, I started do my woodworking, which is my hobby, at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So I really had to stop being in front of the computer, being engaged with my smartphone, with my computer, with my tablet. And I stopped, I put it all away. And at 6 o'clock, I was in my workshop. I was in my garage working on the, I had a nice project to do. And I had to do a garden bench for my niece. She got married, and this was my present to her. And so I had a goal, and I did it. And this was, for example, my way how to get away from the work and not to run a marathon, as you say, and being exhausted. But yes, it's true. I believe that in a lot of companies, people were doing their best, were trying their best, but under the circumstances, doing business in these days is not so easy, because there is no face-to-face relation. There is no, it's really hard to open new deals, to get new customers, to present yourself to the new markets or doing new things, because effectiveness over this video conferencing system is not the same as in the real life. Yeah. And this is something which is negatively impacting our business.
Yeah, fully agree with you. I like your hobby. It's really nice that you can use it to also distract yourself. And it's really funny on the other side how we need to actually trick ourselves not being in front of computer. And on the other hand, actually using that computer to talk to our teams, to talk to our colleagues, to give advice, maybe how to act differently. I actually never expected that we will find ourselves in this role, and it's not easy. And you said it so well when you said it's really important how leaders are directing their attention. How are they keeping the teams actually engaged? Because people's drive depends on having some sense of meaning in what they do. And so leaders are more effective when they connect people to a deeper sense of meaning, when they provide a purpose to unite the team around a strategy or goal to keep them centered. How do you keep your team motivated and engaged?
Well, maybe for the start, I remembered when you said it's important, or it's a way of communicating over the screen. Just maybe to put out my frustration, I had a meeting with the whole team, so the whole company was on Teams, and I had to, of course, communicate some things that were not so positive, so some things that were necessary that each and everyone would need to think about and to change something in order to go in a different direction. And, you know, I was having like 15 minutes monologue. I was, you know, looking at the screen, there was a presentation, some people are using video, some not. I see in our environment that people are more confident not to use video. So you don't see their faces, you don't see them, you don't have any feedback of if they are listening, if your information landed, if your message landed. And I got really frustrated. After the meeting, I was like really exhausted and I was really pissed off. And I closed the computer and I throw some things away because I was frustrated. I was not sure whether my message got through or not and whether something will change. And this is something that you cannot really improve, or there is no way how you can see the emotions, or you can see the reactions or get the reactions from the people over the screen. Keeping people motivated in this kind of way, so doing the things remotely, is actually
big job.
In the way it's actually in the way to let them know, or to promise them that soon will come the time where you come back in the office and you will be in a big meeting room sitting all together and having fun.
Luxury.
And you know, I cannot really imagine that this will go on forever. And I believe, yeah, there is new reality. There is something that we learned out of this. And we see that something is functioning, at least in halfway. But on a long term, I believe we need this in-person connection. We will not be able, at least I do not feel okay with it, that I would be able to do this kind of communication and work on a long term. So yeah. I don't have a magic recipe for you. Maybe one thing I can share, what we did was we organized a virtual Friday coffee. At the beginning, it was 30 minutes. So it was meant like getting together off business topics, just, you know, to check with the team, whether they are okay, how was their week, are there any frustration related to work, and so on. And after a certain while, there were ideas that on this virtual coffee meeting, someone would present something useful, something with what they learned, or shared simply something from their personal life. And it was something that, although in the summer we returned to the office, we kept this meeting. So we still have it every Friday, and we call it Friday morning sweet coffee time. And nice. We are discussing varieties of very different things, and there is no plan, there is no agenda, nothing. So it is very spontaneous, and it is very good. This is something that what I see as a positive confirmation on that people do need to engage with the colleagues, and that people do need to hear what they are doing, also privately, and sharing some jokes or simply listening to the others.
Mm-hmm. Coming out of these pressures, changes, everything that is going on, what is important for you going forward?
Well, we learned that technology transformed environments where companies would really use the most of the technology, helped in this pandemic times, keeping the business running. Mm-hmm. So I believe that this awareness now is more clear, more on the front page, where different industries are thinking about really doing this transformation. So I would say, if we had in last 5 years the buzzwords or the IT industry wrote or preached to everyone that IT transformation and transforming the business, transforming ourselves is necessary from the technology point of view, I believe that pandemic showed that this is necessity, mm-hmm. that this is absolutely necessary to have the business running in the way that enables you to go on, even if you cannot sit on your infrastructure, mm-hmm. let me put it in this plain way. Otherwise, from the perspective of human relations, from the perspective of conducting business, I cannot tell at this point that I see really any positive conclusions yet. Maybe with some time, thinking back and analyze it, we could use some good practices out of this. But in general, I would say no really an advice out of it.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. The ability to execute in this environment is both hard and yet crucial. We are still to learn about the consequences of the recent changes and what good practices will stay now that we have learned some things can be done differently. However, the responsibility of a leader is also to use the opportunity of today's challenges to set up the organization for success in the future. To do that, leader needs to articulate a strategy, understand how it needs to evolve, and execute with both the immediate need and changing future in mind. How would you recommend delivering through execution when the world feels so dynamic? What should leaders keep in mind to bring the future into the present, to solve today's problems and get it done?
Well, Helena, there is no single advice that I could offer and would work universally. The most important, in my opinion, are the people that you are surrounding with. And usually this is the circle that you trust the most, that you choose or pick by yourself. And you have this influence on them. So you are somehow reflection of this team is somehow a reflection of the leader. And how this team is functioning, it depends on the chemistry that you are able as a leader to establish with this inner circle. And then this is somehow echoing also to other colleagues in the organization. So I would for sure put on the first place the team and people. Then, as a second, I would say, in order to respond on all the challenges and all the new things that are coming, and of course, high demands from the business perspective, because we talked about already constant double-digit growth demands and how hard it is to fulfill them. I would here expose the knowledge. Knowledge, in my opinion, again, is one of the crucial points. So you need to support your colleagues, you need to support your organization to be ready to study constantly. It is very important in the IT environment or in IT segment where we are active, maybe more than in other verticals, industry verticals. So the IT is always the leader of the progress of innovation. And this is why people working in this sector need to be keen to learn, need to have the necessary passion to go on, to be the first to explore. And of course, out of this exploration, out of this knowledge, being able to support the customer and to support the business. And one of the things that I think it's also important is listening. So listening internally, listen what your environment is telling you or what your colleagues are telling you. And of course, what the market and what the customer is demanding and telling you. I saw many times that big vendors, big companies, they have their own strategy. They are pushy in this strategy, and they really do not take time to listen and to get a full information what is coming from the customer, what is coming from the field. So we really need to be careful and to listen and understand the needs and demand. This can then give you the opportunity to find the right balance. So offering something new, because new is always something that people are afraid of. And there are variety of different reasons why one could be afraid of something new. There are people, of course, who are keen to get new, to try and to go there, but it's, I would say, there are not so many of this kind. The market and the companies are more or less, and this maybe I'm speaking more for Slovenian market, but more or less I see it around, are conservative. So they are happy with the ongoing, they're happy until the systems are up and running and everything, the processes run smoothly, and change is for them a disruption. And this is why listening to them is really important, to be able to fulfill these dynamic needs, because the dynamic nowadays is really high. The pace of the market, the pace of innovation is in comparison to decades ago, is really high today.
Wow, what a powerful summary. I've really enjoyed our discussion, Jernej. Fascinating to talk about what drives you and how you think about new approaches, how you're facing the challenges and the strategies you have adopted so far. I can't wait to see what you do next and follow up on your success. Thank you for sharing your experience with us, Jernej.
Helena, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure to have this pleasant discussion with you.
Pleasure was all mine. Great to have you with us. What a great conversation with Jernej. He raised many valid points. And one of those is that despite all the changes we are faced with, the business is still conducted person to person. What has changed is how we conduct the business. All this is not easy for the people, and it's not easy for leaders as well. There's so many discussions today about the evolving role of a leader, and we sometimes forget that leaders are also human. Speaking openly about the challenges, asking questions means respect, and we are allowed to admit we don't know everything, and that makes all the difference. It helps us engage with others better and become more productive together. This podcast is brought to you by Drop of Milk, an impact-driven business consultancy and expert on customer-focused digital transformation. You can learn more at dropofmilk.com.